If you are a visual learner this morning, stretch it. If you're a visual learner this morning, I will ask you to try and use hearing. No PowerPoint. Somewhat intentional. Did you hear it? The world's loudest. Do you know the world's loudest sounds? Besides the screen going and rolling up. The loudest crowd roar. Unfortunately, not in Beaver Stadium. Happened September 29th, 2014 at Arrowhead Stadium, home of the Kansas City Chiefs. The noise level reached that day was 142.2 decibels. I looked it up, and according to the chart, that is the equivalent of a Boeing 787 going 100 miles per hour. I don't know if I looked that up correctly, but the loudest sound ever to be heard on planet Earth apparently was heard in the year 1883. No, I'm pretty sure none of us were around then. On the island of Krakatoa. At this time, there was one of the largest volcanic eruptions on record. The sound made by the Krakatoa volcanic eruption was so loud that it ruptured the eardrums of people 40 miles away and traveled around the world four times and was clearly heard 3,000 miles away. That covers the distance from where we are here in Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania, over to Dublin, Ireland, if anybody is wanting to know. Noise pollution is something that has become commonplace within our culture, though we may not want to admit it. Even when we think that we are in a room that is silent, there is still some sort of human-created type noise. In fact, if you were not aware, did you know that there are only 12 places here in the United States that one could go without hearing any human-caused noise? We've become, my phrasing, addicted to noise. Noise is commonplace. And it's so common to us that I wonder if anything that we do not do that doesn't, if there's anything that we do that doesn't cause noise, can we really be addicted to noise? I think so. Most of you know that I work with teenagers. Do you know that one of the most uncomfortable things for teenagers is? I heard some of you whisper it. Silence. Teenagers hate silence. For the most part, they don't do it. If I stop talking and I stand in front of them long enough, they'll get quiet and they'll start looking around, and there's like this cringing, uncomfortable feeling that comes across all of them. I love it. How many of us do not like silence? It becomes awkward. It becomes weird and uncomfortable. Addicted to noise, maybe a harsh generalization. Maybe we've just become so used to the noise that we don't know anything different besides noise. Noise. It's everywhere. This morning, I'm working towards a question, and I prepped the teens this morning, so some of them who are in Sunday school may be on the edge of their seats. I'm working on a question, towards a question. This question is something that everyone in this room, everyone in this sanctuary has asked themselves at least 5 times. And some of us maybe have asked ourselves more. Are you thinking of it? What is the question that we've all asked ourselves at least 5 times? I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of questions that we've all asked ourselves at least 5 times, but I'm thinking of one particular question. I'll let you stew on that, and I'm going to read this morning's passage. It's from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 to 18. "Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. As Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. Some translations, sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. There's more. But that's where I'm going to stop this morning. This passage gives us a hint of what I'm thinking of. And that question, how do I hear from God? How do I hear the voice of God? Maybe you're thinking to yourself, I haven't asked myself that 5 times. I firmly believe that all of us in some form or fashion have asked us ourselves that at least 5 times. And if you're thinking that, Pastor Shane, I don't think I have. Think back early on in your Christian journey. In those early years. How do I hear from God? How do I know his voice? This is one of the questions that I hear people struggling with the most today. It's a very real, gut, honest level struggle with the church today, capital C Church, on hearing from God. And I firmly believe that it has to do with noise, an addiction to noise. This noise is deafening our way. More than a century ago, Dr. Alfred Tomatis was confronted with the most curious case in his 50-year career as a otolaryngologist. I did my best with that one. A renowned opera singer had mysteriously lost his ability to hit certain notes, even those notes were well within his vocal range. And singers, you understand this. He had been to other ear, nose, and throat specialists, all of whom who thought it was a vocal problem. Dr. Tomatis thought otherwise. Using a sonometer, Dr. Tomatis discovered that even an average opera singer produces 140 decibels sound waves at a mirror's distance. That's slightly louder than a military jet taking off from an aircraft carrier. And the sound is even louder inside the skull. That discovery led to a diagnosis. The opera singer had been deafened by the sound of his own voice. Selective muteness was caused by selective deafness. If you can't hear a note, you can't sing a note. In Dr. Tomatis' words, The voice can only reproduce what the ear can hear. It's from the French Academy of Medicine, they dubbed it the tinnitus effect. If you are currently asking yourself, how do I hear from God? Or how do I hear God's voice? Maybe in the midst of the noise of life, you've become deafened to God's voice. Maybe our relational, emotional, or spiritual problems are hearing problems. Ears that have been deafened to the voice of God. And it's that inability to hear his voice that causes us to lose out our voice and lose our way. Our passage today is distinctively shares about the voice of God. It shares about that sheer silence, that gentle whisper. God wasn't in the wind. God wasn't in the earthquake. God wasn't in the fire. God wasn't in all the noise. But that scripture does tell us where God is found and where God's voice is heard. In the sheer silence. The gentle whisper. If I were to ask one of you, one of the teens, to do a demonstration with me, and I asked them to whisper something in my ear, y'all wouldn't be able to hear it. Whisper. Merriam-Webster's definition of a whisper is there's no guttural action in your voice box. It's silent. You can hear it, but it's, get the picture? God's voice as a whisper is in direct contrast of how we're experiencing the world. We're currently experiencing the world with noise. Or at least a very good appreciation of noise. How do we hear God's whisper if we have all this noise in our lives? Is your life off key? Maybe it's because you've been deafened by the negative self-talk that doesn't let God get a word in edgewise. Maybe you've listened to the voice of criticism so long that you can't believe anything else about yourself. Maybe it's the enemy's voice of condemnation that speaks lies about you and who you really are. Or maybe it's the simple noise of life, puttering along, the everyday mundane. Or whatever the noise is for you. If you don't silence the competing noises, the competing voices, they'll eventually deafen you. You won't be able to sing God's song because you won't be able to hear his voice. Is God's voice the quietest and yet most loud, sure thing in your life? God's voice is the solution to 1,000 problems. His voice is love. His voice is power. His voice is healing. His voice is wisdom. His voice is joy. His voice is direction. You have to ask yourself today, here, now, is God's voice the quietest and yet most loud, sure thing in your life? If you answer no, then that is the problem of all problems. Are you on the road to be deafened or you're already deafened to God's voice. The good news is that there's hope, there's grace, there's mercy, there's forgiveness. What we need to do today, if we're going deaf, is to first silence all the competing noise and voices. There's a number of ways to do this. We got to. God gives us ways and places where we can find his whisper. That gentle silence, that sheer silence, as Elijah experienced. Here I have compiled a list of God's love languages. You might be familiar with the five love languages. Did you ever wonder what God's love languages were? Hebrews 1:1 tells us this morning, long ago God spoke to our ancestors in many various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a son, whom he anointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. I'll be straightforward that my list is not exhaustive and that you may have others. But these are the love languages I think God is using to try and speak to us in the here and the now. Number one, first and foremost, we hear God through Scripture, God's inspired word. Epistemology is the branch of philosophy concerned with the nature of knowledge. It asks, how do we know that we know? We all have an epistemological starting, a starting point by which we survive all of life. It establishes our moral baseline, delineating between right and wrong. We all know there's right and wrong. For some, it fluctuates as much as the latest fad. For others, it's as fixed as the scientific method. For me, it's as tried and true as the Bible, Scripture. The Bible's not just my starting point. It's the final authority when it comes to matters of faith and doctrine. I believe the Bible to be the inspired word of God. Truth, with a capital T. 2 Timothy 3 tells us, all of Scripture is God-breathed. Think about the implications of that for a moment. All of Scripture is God-breathed. I don't know about you, but my mind's flashing back to Genesis and creation and God breathing life into Adam and Eve and God breathing life into creation. Scripture needs to be a place where we quiet the noise around us and seek God's voice as we clearly hear his whisper to us through his word. Number two, Jesus. Of course. Again, our Hebrews passage, Hebrews tells us that by these days God is speaking to us through his son. Simply put, if you don't have Jesus, the love of God, without accepting Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life, the forgiver of your sins, the rest of this won't matter. Number three, passions and desires. Passions or desires. The third way we hear God's whisper or God speaking. Psalm 37:4. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Do you have passion, passions and desires? Godly passions, godly desires? Fully convinced that God has created each of us unique, with unique passions, unique desires, He's given to each and every one of us. Some have a passion and desire for medicine, or for business, or for serving, or whatever your passion may be. God gives us passion, desires, and His gentle whisper, that sheer silence, is there. We do have to be careful. Oh, from the scriptures that not all passions, not all desires are godly. But the scriptures, the Holy Spirit, helps us distinguish between what is godly and not. Here's what C.S. Lewis has to say. We tend to think of desires in a negative light. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling around with drink and sex and ambition. An infinite joy is offered to us. Our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. Some desires are sinful, no doubt. And those sinful desires must be crucified. But God also wants to resurrect them, sanctify them, intensify them, and leverage them for His purposes. Pay attention to your desires, to your passions. God may be trying to speak to you through them. There may be something that needs to be crucified. Then God can, as I just went over, He can resurrect it. He can sanctify it. He can intensify it. He can use it for His purposes. Number four, wilderness. I know there's a lot of avid outdoorsmen here this morning. How many times have you encountered God in the great outdoors? Beautiful season is tomorrow, by the way. The chances are higher if you're an outdoors person. There's no coincidence that in the Gospels, before the major miracles, before major things happen, what's Jesus do? Jesus withdraws into the wilderness where He prays and He's filled by God. God breathes into Him. I firmly believe that there's something to be said about finding whisper in the wilderness. Hey, it's a lot more quiet out there than other places. If you think about it, silence is kind of forced to be silent out in the woods. And hunters understand what I'm talking about. Deer are not going to come near you if you're talking and making noise constantly. I'm just saying. Number five, the arts. God speaks to us through artwork and music. Thinking of personal examples. Author Henry Nouwen went to an art museum one day to view artwork. At this particular branch, the prodigal son, now captivated, drawn to sit. Everything, every detail. He had hours until it closed. He went back the next day and stayed for hours until he was fired. I got a book about the painting. God speaks to us through artwork. God whispers to us through music. I can tell you of times where I'm trying to worship, overwhelmed by the presence of God, that I gotta pull the car or and too unsafe. God speaks to us through music. The next one, Job 26:14, and are but the outer fringe of his. How faint the whisper we hear of him. May be hard for Western culture, but we clearly see in the Old Testament and sometimes in the New Testament that God spoke to his people through dreams. How many different Old Testament stories and people can you think of where God spoke to them through dreams? How many? We could also think of the New Testament dreams. It's a foreign way that we're not used to. It doesn't seem like it happens much. But we see in Scripture of how personal experiences where God speaks, God whispers through dreams. Matter of fact, I think we just heard a story this past Sunday how God speaks through dreams. We just have to be quiet. We have to silence the noise. We have to listen. People, number seven, people. Hebrews 12:1, we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses. God speaks to us through people. We're social beings. God places people into our lives and uses them to speak to us. By a show of hands. Yes, I'm asking you to participate now. How many people in church today are in church today because someone at some point in your journey invited you to a church event? I'll raise my hand. I think all of us, some form or fashion, should be raising our hand. God continues to use people to speak into our lives. God wants to use people to speak in other people's lives. God wants to use us to speak into other people's lives. But we have to be quiet. We have to silence the noise. We have to listen. Number eight, probably the most difficult one to discuss with you all, and probably one you wouldn't think would be in here. Number eight, God speaks, God whispers through our pain. Jeremiah 33:10-11. In the towns of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are deserted, inhabited by neither people nor animals, there will be heard once more the sounds of joy and gladness. Here, the most difficult and yet easiest way to hear from God is through our pain. And I do not want to minimize anybody's pain. What do you mean, Pastor Shane? God speaks through pain? Please hear me. God does not give or send pain our way. Pain is a result of Genesis, of the fall, of sin entering the world, of with sin came perversion of our world. Every pleasure in its purest form is a gift from God, but through perversion and through sin, it becomes pain. Dare I say that pain is a gift?
Without pain, we would repeatedly re-injure ourselves in the same ways. Without pain, we would simply maintain the status quo. Without pain, we would ignore problems that can kill us. Nothing gets our full attention like pain. It breaks down false idols and purifies false motives. It reveals where we need to heal, where we need to grow. It refocuses our priorities like nothing else. And pain is part and parcel of God's sanctification process in our lives. With pain, we usually are at rock bottom. Through our pain, unfortunately, we are more apt to be silent, to listen to God. Pain is a very powerful thing, and again, I do not want to minimize anyone's pain, but I do want to point to, in our pain, God is waiting. In our pain, God is whispering and God is speaking to us. God wants to breathe into our lives, wanting to heal us, wanting to comfort us, wanting to make us whole. Do you want to know how to hear from God? This is not a magic equation that I've laid out for us this morning. The different ways that I think that God is whispering to us or God is speaking to us. What I do think we need to hear is that there should be a desperate yearning to silence the noise in our lives, to quiet ourselves, and to simply listen to God's whisper. Through either the ways that I've listed, or maybe you've come across the love language of God that I haven't. Is God's voice the quietest and yet most loud, sure thing in your life? Let us pray. Lord God, we learned today through 1 Kings 19 that you're not in the noise. You weren't in the wind, you weren't in the earthquake, you weren't in the fire, but you were in the gentle whisper that walked by Elijah, that sheer silence. Lord God, help us to quiet the noise in our lives. Take care of the things that we need to take care of so that we can hear your whisper, so that we can hear your love, your power, your direction in our lives. Help us, Lord God. Help us not to be distracted by the noise. For the noise levels can be deafening. We thank you and praise you, Lord God, for who you are and all that you do in our lives. You're an awesome and mighty and wonderful God. Thank you for all that you do for us. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.